The Old Testament reading for the 20th Sunday after Pentecost is from Genesis chapter 4, page 4 of the Pew Bible, if you wish to follow along. Now Adam knew Eve, his wife, and she conceived and bore Cain, saying, I have gotten a man with the help of the Lord. And again she bore his brother Abel. Now Abel was a keeper of sheep, and Cain a worker of the ground. In the course of time, Cain brought to the Lord an offering of the fruit of the ground, and Abel also brought of the firstborn of his flock and of their fat portions. And the Lord had regard for Abel and his offering. But for Cain and his offering, he had no regard. So Cain was very angry, and his face fell. The Lord said to Cain, Why are you angry? And why has your face fallen? If you do well, will you not be accepted? And if you do not do well, sin is crouching at the door. Its desire is for you, but you must rule over it. Cain spoke to Abel, his brother, and when they were in the field, Cain rose up against his brother Abel and killed him. Then the Lord said to Cain, Where is Abel, your brother? He said, I do not know. Am I my brother's keeper? And the Lord said, What have you done? The voice of your brother's blood is crying to me from the ground. And now you are cursed from the ground, which has opened its mouth to receive your brother's blood from your hand. When you work the ground, it shall no longer yield to you its strength. You shall be a fugitive and a wanderer on the earth. Cain said to the Lord, My punishment is greater than I can bear. Behold, you have driven me today away from the ground, and from your face I shall be hidden. I shall be a fugitive and a wanderer on the earth, and whoever finds me will kill me. Then the Lord said to him, Not so. If anyone kills Cain, vengeance shall be taken on him sevenfold. And the Lord put a mark on Cain, lest anyone who found him should attack him. This is the word of the Lord. The epistle is from 2 Timothy chapter 4, page 1277 in the Pew Bible. For I am already being poured out as a drink offering, and the time of my departure has come. I have fought the good fight, I have finished the race, I have kept the faith. Henceforth there is laid up for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will award to me on that day. And not only to me, but also to all who have loved his appearing. At my first defense, no one came to stand by me, but all deserted me. May it not be charged against them. But the Lord stood by me and strengthened me, so that through me the message might be fully proclaimed, and all the Gentiles might hear it. So I was rescued from the lion's mouth. The Lord will rescue me from every evil deed. And bring me safely into his heavenly kingdom. To him be the glory forever and ever. Amen. This is the word of the Lord. The Holy Gospel according to St. Luke, the 18th chapter. These words serve as our sermon text. Jesus also told this parable to some who trusted in themselves that they were righteous and treated others with contempt. Two men went up into the temple to pray, one a Pharisee and the other a tax collector. The Pharisee, standing by himself, prayed thus, God, I thank you that I am not like other men, extortioners, unjust, adulterers, or even like this tax collector. I fast twice a week, I give tithes of all that I get, but the tax collector, standing far off, would not even lift up his eyes to heaven. But beat his breast, saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. I tell you, this man went down to his house justified rather than the other. For everyone who exalts himself will be humbled, but the one who humbles himself will be exalted. Now they were bringing even infants to him that he might touch them. And when the disciples saw it, they rebuked them. But Jesus called them to him, saying, Let the children come to me, do not hinder them, for to such belongs the kingdom of God. Truly I say to you, whoever does not receive the kingdom of God like a child shall not enter it. This is the word of the Lord. Grace, mercy, and peace be richly multiplied unto each one of you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus the Christ. Amen. A farmer and his young son went into the wheat fields at harvest time. As they looked across the waving fields of golden grain, the boy exclaimed, "Look, Father, at those wheat heads that hold themselves up so proudly. They must be the ones that are filled with grain and would suppose that those with their heads bowed down are of no account." "How foolish you are, my son," the farmer said. And taking some of the heads into his hands, he showed the boy that the heads that stood up so proudly had only a few poor, shriveled grains or were completely empty, while those that bowed their heads humbly were filled with large, full, golden kernels of wheat. This morning, as we look at our gospel lesson from Luke 18, we consider the theme, "The humble one is exalted." My fellow redeemed, dear brothers and sisters in Christ Jesus, sometimes the easiest way to address a particular text is kind of to dig through it verse by verse, asking the necessary questions, making the applications as we proceed. And that's what we shall do this morning. This was one of the many parables that our Lord Jesus simply used as a teaching tool. It begins, "And he also told this parable to certain ones who trusted in themselves that they were righteous and viewed others with contempt." Jesus was addressing the Pharisees in this text. They viewed themselves as righteous and looked down upon others who did not measure up to their standards. In his commentary, Dr. Lenski describes the Pharisees as such: the Jewish sect or party, which laid utmost stress on the outward observance of the law, which included the rabbinical traditions and regulations that professed to build a formidable hedge around the law. They were utterly self-righteous and cultivated formalism, which they displayed especially in observing ceremonies, fastings, almsgivings, long prayers, tithes, etc. Jesus exposes them as being notoriously bad hypocrites. End quote. Jesus addressed that in other places when he said, "You are those who justify yourselves in the sight of men. But God knows your hearts, for that which is highly esteemed among men is detestable in the sight of God." And then Paul adds this, But why do you judge your brother? Or you again, why do you regard your brother with contempt? For we all stand before the judgment seat of God. Modern day Pharisees still exist. Yeah, and sometimes they pop up in the church as well. As soon as we try to regulate Christian liberty and the freedom of someone else, we have become a Pharisee. Each of us needs to guard against judging someone else based upon our own self-created rules. Sometimes that can turn people off in the church to the point that they simply drop out because they don't measure up to our rules and regulations. And so we become a stumbling block to others. Jesus put it this way: beware of practicing your righteousness before men to be noticed by them. Otherwise, you have no reward with your Father who is in heaven. And when you pray, you are not to be as the hypocrites, for they love to stand and pray in the synagogues and on the street corners in order to be seen by men. Truly, I say to you that they have their reward in full. So back to our text. Two men went up into the temple to pray. One a Pharisee and the other a tax gatherer. The Pharisee stood and was praying thus to himself, God, I thank thee that I am not like other people, swindlers, unjust adulterers, or even like this tax gatherer. I fast twice a week. I pay tithes of all that I get. He describes what he is not and what he thinks he is. Nowhere does he find his identity in the hand of a gracious and merciful God. The Pharisee is drawing all attention to himself. Isn't that how the old Adam can work in each of us? We want to be exalted. But there's quite a contrast here in the attitude of the tax gatherer. But the tax gatherer, standing some distance away, was even unwilling to lift his eyes to heaven, but was beating his breast, saying, God, be merciful to me, the sinner. I probably will never forget that Bible passage. And I guess I could have looked it up as to how many years ago this happened. But I was serving my second call, and I had a man in the hospital who was dying. His name was Maury. And I went into his room. He was laying flat in the bed, and he was saying the words of the tax collector. God, be merciful to me, the sinner. And I remember that today as if it were yesterday. You know, tax collectors were notorious for being dishonest. But this man knew and confessed his sin. He was throwing himself upon the mercy of a gracious and loving God. And the difference here is between one of life and death. The Pharisee is trusting in himself and all that he has done, while the tax collector shows faith in the promises of God. Hear what Luther says. This is what happens when we forget what we used to be like. Then it is easy to judge other people. But the command is this: Hans, take hold of your own nose and touch into your bosom. If you're looking for a villain on whom to pass judgment, you will find the biggest villain on earth. You will just as soon forget about other people and gladly let them alone. You will never find as much sin in another person as you will find in yourself. But when you look at yourself, you see your whole life, especially the serious blemishes that nobody else knows about. And then you must be ashamed about yourself. That, you see, would be a good cure for this shameful vice. You should stop pleasing yourself and pray to God to forgive you and others. End quote. God's mercy towards us is demonstrated in and through the work of his Son, Jesus Christ. Jesus talks about being justified at the end of the text. Justification is totally God's work through the suffering, death, and resurrection of Christ Jesus on the cross and in our place. It is because of Christ's work that we can approach God. The Bible says, now all these things are from God, who reconciled us to himself through Christ namely that God was in Christ reconciling the world unto himself, not counting their trespasses against them. He made him who knew no sin to be sin in our behalf, that we might become the righteousness of God in him. Lest we ever want to claim any credit for our salvation, the Bible is so clear, but by his doing, you are in Christ Jesus, who became to us wisdom from God and righteousness and sanctification and redemption. And such were you, but you were washed, but you were sanctified, but you were justified in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ and in the Spirit of our God. Hear the end of the parable. I tell you, this man went down to his house justified rather than the other, for everyone who exalts himself shall be humbled, but he who humbles himself shall be exalted. To which Luther said, God is the God of the humble, the miserable, the afflicted, the oppressed, and those who are reduced to absolutely nothing. His way is to exalt the humble, to feed the hungry, to give sight to the blind, to comfort the miserable and the afflicted, to justify sinners, to give life to the dead, and to save the desperate and the damned. End quote. The humble one is exalted. The one who is humbled for us is none other than Jesus himself. St. Paul says of our Savior, but emptied himself, taking the form of a bondservant and being made in the likeness of men and being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. Therefore, God highly exalted him and gave him the name that is above every name. Since Christ Jesus has been humbled and exalted, he lifts us up so that we can confess with St. Paul, I have been crucified with Christ. And it is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and delivered himself up for me. My friends, in Christ Jesus, your sins are forgiven because the humbled Christ has been exalted for you. In Jesus' name and completed work of redemption. Amen. Now may the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep our hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.